So it's the final day of the big one, and I'm just here with Pranay Ketu. This is the Diocese for the Buddhist Centre Online, and we're up in the beams after breakfast. And I'm just going to ask Pranay Ketu a few things about the weekend. Starting firstly with something that you said actually on Friday evening at the team meeting. You mentioned that giving the talk, which you've given this weekend, the keynote talk, was something quite significant to you. So I was just wondering if you could just unpack that, why it's so significant, particularly because I know you probably give quite a lot of talks.
Yeah, well, I do. I think it's rare to be at such a big gathering of young people. You know, we have an event like this once a year. And having done a lot of travelling around young Buddhist groups and meeting young Buddhists and young people, I think I've kind of accumulated a lot of things that I think would be helpful for people to hear. So it's significant in the sense that I feel like I've been, in a way, kind of writing this talk for the 3 years I've been Young Buddhist Coordinator. I remember, two very significant talks for me were on the first two big Young Buddhist retreats I came to, where Vajratara did one on the five tantric precepts 1 year, just elucidating Bhante's elucidation of that that teaching. And I think the following year, Jnanadara did another one on the true individual, you know, freedom in a mad world. And I just remember just seeing those like younger order members, very, very impressive people, and thinking, yeah, I want to be like them.
Actually, I remember my first big one, you were one of the people giving the short personal talks. I can't remember when that was, but yeah, a few years ago.
Yeah, that would have been 2014, I think.
2014, yeah. Great. So you gave the keynote talk yesterday, and it was a wonderful talk, really poetic and, you know, full of, well, had a wonderful four-point list. I'm just wondering if maybe you could just say a very brief summary of the, if that's possible. That's a bit cheeky.
Yeah, well, so I guess what I'm interested in is what does a religious attitude look like? You know, I think of myself as religious, and what does that look like? And I was drawing on the canonical accounts of the Buddha's life story, and particularly this sort of motif which appears again and again in his life of recognizing the limitations of the situation that he's in and seeking what lies beyond them. You know, so, and that's kind of the emblematic instance of that is the palace life, and seeing what, yeah, and wanting to leave the palace and go beyond that. And so I was just kind of considering, well, what does leaving the palace look like? And I found a really handy list in the Maha Satchika Sutta, where the Buddha's talking about what happened on the night of his awakening. And that list, which is, you know, to do with him entering into higher and higher meditative states, reviewing his past lives, seeing the arising and passing away of beings, and then finally the origin and cessation of suffering. It's like that list gives both an ideal to aspire to, which is the kind of direction that the religious life is going in, but also it gives a sense of what gates might there be for leaving the palace, to speak figuratively.
And you chose the word religious, which was an interesting choice. Can you say a bit more about why that word?
Well, I think it's I've got an opinion on this, so I'll opinionate. I think there seems to be a lot of interest in what I would think of as religious, you know, and that list I give in the talk kind of fleshes that out. There's a lot of interest, particularly in the thinkers I'm reading at the moment, and a lot of contemporary thinkers, but they don't like going near religion, and they sort of close down around religion, even though there's this sense of something more, wanting something more. And so I feel myself to be on a bit of a, hopefully not a one-man mission, but a kind of one-man mission to disabuse people of their prejudices against religion. Because I think there are a lot of prejudices which stop people from seeing the value in what, not just Buddhism, but particularly the Buddhist tradition has to offer.
Well, good luck with that. Hopefully you won't be a one-man crusade.
Yeah.
Was there any particularly of the gates that you mentioned that you particularly have a strong resonance with?
Yeah. So the second gate was the Buddha reviewing his past lives, and I took that to be. I don't have direct experience of my own past lives. But even so, I took that to be a symbolic of a desire to connect with a much longer now, is the way I phrase. And I've borrowed that term from someone else, just to say, but like a longer now, both stretching back into the past and developing a real sense of gratitude to all the conditions which have made, you know, this possible, this moment now, and then contextualising that as well into. Yeah, I can see more and more, even in so-called spiritual circles, is a kind of collapsing of time to just the present moment. And I think that whilst that has an instrumental value, there's this, like the if you like, the meaning, the simple meaning of practicing in the present moment comes from that much broader of time. And I think the way we connect with that is through gratitude.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it's quite something quite tangible to take away as well, you know, something quite positive. You also mentioned the Karuna appeal that you've recently been on a couple of times, actually. Can you say a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, well, so...
It was your first appeal.
It was my first appeal, yes, and there's loads, almost a baffling amount to say. I think I found it personally very, very transformative, and part of the reason why I did it was to be able to indicate to others what an experience it is, and I hope that's what I did in the talk, or at least I kind of shone a bit of a light on what doing an appeal is like. I just think it's just one of those things which is. Almost impossible to find something bad about. It's like it's just in all directions. It's helping others. It's developing oneself. It's building community. It's just being a positive presence in the neighbourhood that you're in. It's like so much. It's so meritorious in a kind of non-pious way. I felt particularly coming off doing that appeal like I was just charged with such a positive energy.
Well, so you certainly gave a flavour of that actually yesterday in the talk, and I think you're a good ambassador for why one might want to do one.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Pranikato. I know we're time is ticking away, so we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, thanks, Adasi. Yeah.